stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. Today, we have a very special show. We're joined by a visitor from Kenya, Pastor Daniel Okanga. Pastor Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, before we start the show today, would you like to pray for our show?
Yeah, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful day to be live on this podcast and to share your word. Thank you for your servants and even my fellow panelists. We worship you as we begin. May you begin with us. Help us continue to open our eyes so that we may dig deep into your word and know you better. For in Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to turn the mic over to Brother Sam, and we'll begin the rest of the show.
All right. Well, good afternoon, Daniel. It's good to have you here. And it's really going to be a blessing as well as we you get to share your testimony and tell people about your life transformation. So just as a background, I know we've talked. I'm gonna try to give a high level summary of what I believe if I captured everything from our previous conversation, and then we'll let you share some different details of the things that God has placed on your heart to share today. So I understand as a youth, when approximately you were 17, you kind of went in and started serving and working with different churches. And over the years, at some point, you were approached and requested to get more involved in the ministry. And at that point in time, I believe you didn't have a desire specifically to go into the ministry at that point, but you continued to be asked, and you asked your wife because you wanted a confirmation, and that she had God spoke to her about and kind of showed, if I remember right, you speaking to a large group of people, and that kind of I think gave you confirmation for you to go into the ministry. And from that point, I know you were involved with different churches. You ended up going and studying at a church for a couple years to become a minister. And then after that, you went in and you started again serving in other capacities. And at one point, I believe you were involved in leadership with a church. And based upon some observations of some things that you saw going on, you went to address some of those things, and you didn't really get support. And we'll have you talk about those items. And then after that, God called you out of that, again spoke to you to go start anew or refresh. So with that, Daniel, I'm going to turn it over to you. And, you know, just kind of walk through and share the things that God's put on your heart to give people an understanding of your life before and how you were serving God and what you thought. And then as you progress, how God worked in your life and to where you're at today. So with that, Daniel, please share.
Thank you very much, servant of God. I bless the name of the Lord for this opportunity to share my testimony on how the Lord had worked with me and how he called me into the ministry. First of all, I'm Daniel Okanga from Kenya, pastoring a church in an island called Rusinga. It is in a town called Homa Bay County. As you've said, we shared that testimony, and again, I'm here to share it to the whole world that indeed I was called at, I was saved at 17, and the Lord spoke to some elderly servants of God about my calling, and the way you put it, it is true that I refused. That one was the year 2005. I got saved in 1999, and the Lord spoke to those servants of God in the year 2005, and I refused. So when it reaches, it reached 2008, I got married, and again, they insisted that the Lord is telling them that I should go and serve the Lord as a pastor. I still refused, but by then, because I had married, I decided to speak to God, ask him, Lord, if it is your will you just confirm it through somebody else? And actually, the Lord spoke to my wife. She saw that on a dream one day when she was sleeping. She saw me in a very big gathering preaching to the people, of which, because of time, cannot share all. So that is the time that I took that call, and I went to a church in the same island that I preach right now. I was taken to a certain church here with that organization where I got saved. I pastored the church for around about 3 years. Then, as I said, and as my brother Summers put it, that there were some leadership contradiction. There was some confusion in leadership that I tried to address. Unfortunately, the organization did not understand, and also they did not support me. So I decided to step down as a pastor, and the Lord spoke to me after 8 months. I prayed and I humbled myself, and after 8 months, the Lord spoke to me and told me to begin a new church. And I again began the church that I'm now pastoring right now. I began it from the ground, and now it is coming up. By the time I was serving God, I knew that actually I was in the truth. I was serving the true God. And in fact, I've been in a Bible college for 3 years doing studying the Bible, doing theology and the ministry. And in all those that I've done, there are some truths that I didn't know. And even though I was reading the Word, but my eyes was still blind and I did not see well. One day, as we were in a meeting like this one, I met Rooney on a wall called Proleptic Digital Church. I don't know who invited him there, but my friends here, my colleagues who also serve the Lord in this place, invited me into that wall, and I joined. So it's a wall of study. So there is a question that I asked the leader of that Proleptic Digital Church. He's a pastor in the U.S. called Pastor Patrick Smith. And then because of, I don't know, maybe she didn't understand, there was confusion. And I happened to receive a message in my inbox from that young man called Rooney. He texted me through my inbox, and we talked for a while, and again, there is where I found this link. And when I found this link, I called the time that we agreed, and I found them on the meeting. I asked them some questions, and the same question that I asked them, they did not give me the right answer. But what convinced me and persuaded me is that I asked Pastor Patrick the question, but he did not answer me well. So I decided to join the link so that I get the right answer for the question that I had. And when I asked Brother Rooney, who sent me the link, I didn't answer the question. So he referred me to Brother Sam, who is now with us here and was in of great help of me spiritually and even with other things. So I bless the Lord because I received the answer, the right answer. I struggled with that question. I look for answer in many sources, but I didn't get the right answer. So when I asked Brother Sam, he gave me the right answer through the scriptures. There is where I was convinced that for sure this is the true servant of God. So from there, we've been studying the word. And in fact, there were some of the things that I did not do right. And my eyes opened right there. And I saw my mistakes, the things that I've been doing, and even some I was taught in college to do, which was not right before the Lord. Because I was doing my thought and what I was taught in the college, which were not from the scriptures. So when we studied and I asked several questions, I came to my senses and I said, Lord, I've gone astray in this area. So I've been serving you, and yet you are speaking to me. But I realized that for sure, that scripture that Paul wrote, I think it is Acts chapter 17, that during the time of ignorance, God overlooked. But now, because I have now received the truth, now I should repent. And I cried and wept before the Lord because of the simple mistakes that I did, which were not according to the scriptures. So from there, I wept and I prayed, and some led me to receive a new heart. Because, for example, things like sanctification, things like righteousness, things like receiving a new heart, I did not understand those things right. So that is the time. I can't remember the day or the hour or the, but last year, I prayed and the Lord gave me a new heart. And again, after some time, when I went to church, I explained to them what took place and what happened to me. Many did not understand me. And in fact, because I had known the truth, I went on proclaiming that truth. So the majority of church members, many of them rebelled, and many of them turned against me, and many left the church. So from there, I decided not to go back to whatever I was doing, because I was preaching and yet struggling with the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, doing some things which were contrary to the will of God, because my heart was not changed. I was doing them with the heart of the devil, and I was preaching with the heart which was not transformed fully by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that is the time that I started preaching the truth, and I'm continuing preaching that truth in this island. However difficult the situation is, but we have the few who have accepted the truth. There is no other truth that I'm preaching here but the truth which is written in the Bible, the whole counsel of God. That is what I am proclaiming now. Thank you. If you have any other question, I think you are free now to ask. before I proceed.
Well, amen. Praise God. And yes, I do have some questions, Daniel. Just to give some context to people, you know, when we talk about believing in the Bible and that, a lot of people say, well, yes, I believe in all the words of the Bible and the words of God. When you look at serving God, a lot of people think they're serving him. You mentioned that you thought you were too. So I'd like to ask just a couple clarifying questions to help the audience have a better understanding of you know, some of the applications and the details. So you mentioned previously, you know, you were saved. And when you said you were saved, what did you believe? Were you taught about faith? Were you taught about God's grace? Were you taught about that Jesus died for you? Is that what you believed in? Just to give context to the people when they say, okay, well, I thought you said you were saved. What did you trust in when you first thought that you came to Christ and you were serving him?
Thank you very much for asking that question. It's a very good question. And this is the answer to that question. You know, when I believed, I was taught that you believe in your heart and you confess. And that is what I did. And also, you know, believing and confessing and receiving a new heart are different things. Believing, confessing. You know, it is not just believing and confessing. Yes, the Bible says so. But you must accept your heart to be transformed, your mind to be renewed. I believed, I confessed, but I was still doing the things of the world because I had not received a new heart that does not sin, that does not lust. So that is how I was serving previously. But now I'm serving him in truth and in spirit. You know, here, many people are professing that they are saved. They are preaching the gospel of Jesus, yes, but they are still hanging to their sins. They are still doing some filthy things that are not, that are contrary to the word of God. You see? So, when I received the new, I was among those people. When I received the new, I believed, I confessed, I cried, the Lord changed my heart. Right now, there are no even elements of lying. There are no even elements of lusting in my life because the Lord transformed me. It's like my old body was replaced. I was given a new flesh, a new mind, a new heart. Everything is new in me. Because even now, I cannot even lie to somebody. I cannot even lie to Christians to get money from them the way I've seen many televangelists are doing outside here. Because it is the heart that needs to be transformed. So that is the answer, I think, to that question.
Yes, Daniel, that was a very good answer. I understand. I do have a follow-up question. So you mentioned that before, you know, you believed, you put your trust in Christ, he died for your sins, and you mentioned that you still had sin in your life. Just to kind of to clarify that, some people might say, well, yeah, obviously, if you're going around just sinning to sin and you're doing all these things, well, then of course, you know, how could you possibly call yourself a Christian? But there's another context of some people thinking that, well, as long as you profess Christ and there is a change and you're slowly drawing closer in sanctification and sins are being reduced. To give a context, were you somebody who was a pastor that was leading people, but struggling with drunkenness and you're running around and committing adultery with women or this? Or when you say you still had sin in your life, are you referring to if somebody looked at you outwardly, they would see a godly man? If someone looked at you outwardly, they would see a man that was walking outwardly in the ways of God, somebody that would be to, you know, try to follow your example, as Paul and the apostles would say, right, follow my example as I follow Christ. Or were you one of those people where when people would look at your outward life, they'd be like, wow, that guy's all messed up. He just carries sin around with cart ropes and drags sin around with him. Because I know we've talked, and there's a difference between how God looks at us and looks at the heart and the thoughts, whereas man tends to look at the outward actions, which sometimes, even as Jesus pointed out, the Pharisees were outwardly righteous people, but not inwardly. Can you give any context to that with your life?
Thank you, man of God. I just want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. It continues in part B, avoid such people. So I was in part A, having an appearance of godliness. Preaching, they say, you preach water, but you take wine. So I was preaching water and yet taking wine, telling people that do not do as I do, but do as I say. So you see, that is wrong before the Lord. Because as you put it very right in Corinthians, Paul talks with the Corinthian church, follow me as I follow Christ. So I didn't know, because I found myself doing what they were doing. So I knew that it was just right to preach and to do this and to do sin and to do this, even if you are from the Bible college, you are supposed to do this, because many are from colleges and are still preaching the word of God, but doing such kind of filthy things. So I knew it was just okay. So I followed what I was taught with my seniors, those whom I called my seniors. So that is what I was doing. Having an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to work inside my life, to cultivate the spirit of truth in me. I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to do that. But now, the Holy Spirit inside my life, and is the one controlling me, guiding me. Initially, or previously, the Holy Spirit was outside my life.
Daniel, this is Kyle. I just wanted to say, you weren't alone in that. I went 45 years professing the name of Christ in my life, but in my heart, having not been changed. So I thank God that I learned the truth and he changed my life as well.
Amen. Glory to God. And I've been just to say that even me also, I've been in the ministry for the last 11 years. This is my 12th year, and this is the year that the Lord transformed me. So it is like we are in the same boat now.
So Daniel, as you mentioned that, you initially thought that you were saved, but you realized you didn't have all the truth, and that God requires a new heart, a new man that can walk in righteousness and be cleansed from the sin, not just outwardly, but the sin that's in his heart. The wicked thoughts that Jesus talked about, that's what defiles us. I know God was continue to work because, and it's one of the things I've seen, just because somebody doesn't have a new heart yet or they haven't received the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit continues to work. That's what draws people out of darkness. But a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking that, well, I'm already saved. I said a prayer. And they don't realize that, no, someone who's been born again is no longer a slave of sin. And they take them out of that. But I know that you shared that God was working because I think you desired to live a godly life. You desired it and had a longing that you wanted to be connected with God. Is that true?
Very true.
Now, at the one point when you took a position, you're working as a leader in the church, you said there were some things that weren't right and you spoke against them, but the other leaders didn't support you. What was the generic topic that was wrong, that God was convicting you that wasn't right, that you should be speaking against?
Yeah, you know, even in ignorance, God God works even in ignorance. The way you said, it is true that the Holy Spirit can even speak to those who don't know, but they can't understand what the Spirit is saying. So at that time, actually, was rotten, the church of that organization. It was rotten because you find things like immorality is still in some leaders. Leaders were lying. So the worst thing which made me to stop that woman for doing the work that she was appointed to do in the church, he was a drunkard. And she was drunkard, and she used to come to church while drunk. So you see, that was an evidence that for sure, this one, something should be done to this lady because of what she's doing. So it was open. What made me to step out of that church after stopping her from the leadership position is that the leadership of the organization did not support me. And when they come to try to manage the conflict, they brought her back to the leadership. And I said, wow, how can it work? And the truth, the little truth, the half-truth that I knew was telling me that such person should not be in leadership. So that's what happened. She was a drunkard, and I took a step of faith and I stopped her from her leadership position.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you shared that story, Daniel, a lot of people, you know, would look at that and they would agree. They said, yes, you know, someone can't be, you know, having certain types of sins, you know, if they're having, you know, immorality or drunkenness or adultery, or it seems like many people will take certain sins outwardly and say, oh yeah, if you're doing that, you're disqualified from ministry. But yet, as we look closer at the Bible says, well, no, you see, everyone who's been born again, they've been changed. We don't even sin in our heart. We don't sin in our thoughts. So let's talk a little bit about that, Daniel, because you know, God connected us and we started having conversations. And I know you asked, you know, me many different conversations about different disputes or questions that came up in the church. There are questions over roles of women, questions over the use of spiritual gifts, the use of tongues, questions over, you know, end times, prophecy, Christ, various different questions. And as we went through those many times, I wouldn't tell you what I thought. What would I do? How would I typically answer your questions when you would ask them?
Thank you very much, Brother Sam. In every question that I asked, you were taking me to the scriptures, and the answer was coming out very clear. And the scripture has been consistent since we began this journey. And the questions were very difficult. And for sure, the questions that I was asking you, some of them I asked my very senior servants of God whom we used to serve together with in that organization, and I did not get any response. So any question that I asked you, and even here in my church, in our church here, the church that I pastor now, which has rebelled, I am remaining the few, they asked me many questions, but I referred them to the scriptures. The reason why they rebelled is that the scripture was answering all their questions that they were answering. So that is what I've been doing. I've been doing whatever you've been doing to me, and they are down on paper. I wrote everything down, and every scriptures are down on paper. The way I asked you, and the way you answered me, and the scriptures that you gave me. I can remember even there are some of the scriptures that I, there are some of them, the copies that you sent through an email. They are still in my email. So to answer the question, it is simple. You answered me every time I asked the question. You answered me through the Word of God, the Bible.
Yes. Yeah, the Word of God is definitely the authority. So I know there are a lot of questions that dealt with, you know, conduct of a church, believers, you know, more of what other people would say is almost church administration and other, you know, topics associated with theological questions that are outside what people would consider is, you know, what do you need to do to be born again or to become a Christ follower? So after we talked about those peripheral or those, you know, questions outside the main topic of, are we even a born again? I know you and I, we started having some deeper questions about, well, what does it really even mean to be a Christ follower? And we went on a journey together, and I know we went through two books. And on that journey, as you discussed earlier, I still remember the day where you wept bitterly and you cried out to God in repentance because you thought you were serving God your whole life. But in that moment, you realized as God opened your eyes, that you had never been serving God. You were serving a different master. Can you tell me what that was of what God showed you of who you were serving and any reflection on what was it in scripture as we were going through it that said, hey, this is wrong. You're still in darkness. You aren't in light. Can you share anything that comes to mind from that, those conversations and what God touched your heart?
Thank you very much. I just want to take us back to an example. One of the examples that made me to weep is from 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, let me open my Bible. Chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, that is verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I did not understand this portion of scripture. And I remember asked many questions from the time ago when we were beginning this journey. I asked you, and you explained it to me very well, that this portion speaks of somebody who is not saved, who has not received a new heart. So the scripture is inviting him to repent. So after he had repented, now he walks a new man. He has a new heart. He worship in truth and in spirit. So this is what made me to weep, because I used to say this sentiment that no one is holy. No one is holy. Don't tell me that you will enter the kingdom of God. And yet, when I was speaking to that, speaking like that, proclaiming again the other side, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. So this is what the confusion that I had. And when you explained it to me very well, I wept because many was led astray with my preachings. And I went back and tell them that, brothers and sisters, when you are saved, when you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must have a new heart. That is what made me to wept before the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, it's one of those things. It's the new heart. When someone's still in darkness, it requires a true faith in God, that God can do an impossible work, that as Peter preaches, that we can be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy in all of our behavior, and that we're to continue to walk in that holiness that God places us in. And for so many people who are still a slave of sin, who still have the wicked thoughts in their heart that everyone's born with, they find it almost impossible. Like, how can someone accept such teaching? And, well, that would mean that I'm not a Christian. And instead of people humbling themselves and just saying, well, what does God's word say? If I say I believe in God and his word, well, then if his word says it, then who am I to argue or contradict God's word? And unfortunately, many people I've talked to, they actually become very angry because they say, who are you to challenge my salvation? And I say, I'm not challenging it. I'm pointing out to you what God says is the evidence and the proof and what we're to put our faith in.
I was just going to say that, in fact, is the true gospel, that God's spirit can actually fully transform your life to be free from sin.
Amen.
Thank you. And to add on what Kayla has said, just to add on my point, the previous point of saying that no one can say that you are saved, you can't walk a holy life. In fact, I believed that no one can be holy, only Jesus himself. That is what I believed initially. Thank you.
Yes. So, Daniel, when we got to that point, because I remember when you wept before God that day and you cried out and you repented and said that you had been serving the devil your whole life and you didn't even know it, even though in your heart you thought you were serving God. And we had that question about the holiness in the heart, and that God required us to receive a new heart so that we can walk in light just as God is light, so that we can turn. As it says in Peter in several places, that we're to commit no sin, that we've been called for this purpose. Just as, you know, the one who has died is no longer to live for the lust of the flesh, but for God. I know in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about the example of Christ, that we've been called for this purpose since Christ suffered for you, leaving for you an example for you to follow in his steps, and then tells us what that is. Commit no sin. Have no deceit in our mouth. We don't revile in return. While suffering, we utter no threat. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he goes on to tell us who receives the blessing. And in chapter 3, verse 10, he says, the one who desires life, to love, and to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil. He must keep his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And then also in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same purpose. Another same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. They have stopped sinning. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, no longer for the lust of men, but now for the will of God. And we know what the will of God is. And so I know when we got to that point,
that's right,
Daniel, and I shared with you, I said, God requires you to receive of a perfect heart and to no longer walk in sin. You didn't argue with that.
That's true.
What was it that didn't cause you not to argue? What do you recall what caused you to accept that truth? Because I've talked to so many people, and the first thing that comes to their mind is they immediately say, absolutely not, that's impossible. But you didn't.
That's true. Thank you very much. The reason why I didn't argue much, because I've said it and I'll repeat it, that every answer that you gave me was from the scriptures, was from the Bible, the word of God. And I think and I believe that our authority is from the scriptures. And even you are showing the scriptures that you are showing me, those people were trying to show me so that I may get the answer to my questions, but it was not clear. The scriptures were not clear to me. But when you referred me to those scriptures, the same scriptures gave me the right answer, and those scriptures were very clear to me. And I can even answer anybody who asked me any question concerning the Word of God. I said, first of all, our authority is on the scriptures. And it is the Word of God that we measure every thought, that we measure every word. Are we together?
Yes.
And exactly the scriptures that you were opening to me to give me the answer. Sorry? They did even answer the questions well. The questions, are we together?
Yes.
They were giving me the right scriptures, but their explanation were extreme, were not according to the Word of God. Because we know, and as we have been going through the Bible, the Word of God is consistent, and the scripture supports itself. They were giving me the answer, and when I ask again, they don't give me another scripture that supports their answer. But you are consistent with your answer. You can you are giving me the answer from the Old Testament, coming to the New Testament, going down. Every time I asked you questions, you were giving me the answer through the Word. And I test you for several times. And I found that for sure, this is the Lord that wants to show me the way.
Yeah, one of the things I notice is many people who take the Word of God, they'll go to one scripture, but then they'll take the scripture and they'll say, this is what it means. And they'll provide man's interpretation with man's thoughts. And as you pointed out, we always stayed in the Bible. I says, well, let's keep reading the Bible and let's let God explain it. If God doesn't explain it, then we aren't going to draw any conclusions from those passages. But we're going to make sure that God answers the question and he explains the question. And we're going to look at his scripture, and we're going to let God's thoughts and God's ways and God's words provide the answer for all questions.
Correct.
And you're right. When you do that, you get a consistent answer. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, you get consistency.
Just to add before you proceed, do you remember the question that I argued with you so much, the last question that we argued so much? Do you still remember it?
There were many questions. Remind me.
Yeah, there is a question. I think even Matthew sometimes became angry. And it's from Matthew. What was the question? But when I remember the question, I'll share as we continue.
Okay.
You can proceed. You can proceed. When I remember it, I'll share.
Okay. So as we go forward, when we prayed and I told you about the new heart and that God wants to give you a new heart with new thoughts, new desires, and that instantly God's going to change your desires, you accepted that. I showed you in scripture and you believed and you put your faith in the Word of God and the impossible work that God said he was going to do. And I remember that night that you prayed and you asked God to get a new heart. Can you describe for the people, because some people will say being born again and then seeking after God and drawing closer to holiness, that's a process of sanctification that God has to slowly work through you and work to cleanse and to give you a new mind and a new heart. Can you describe, I mean, you put your faith in God doing an impossible immediate work. Can you share with everyone listening what God actually did to your thoughts and desires?
Yeah, even me, I was taught that sanctification is a process. When you are saved, for example, you need to continue reading the Word of God, praying, which is not wrong, but there are some elements of of sin that are still in your life, of which as you continue, they will move out of your life slowly by slowly. I can remember very well that at first I shared with you that, and you explained it very well to me. And I got it from you very right, that actually, in a simple term, when something is changed, it can't remain the same as it was. That is very simple in normal circumstance. So that is what made me to accept that for sure it is a true worship. And the true worship is that we worship in truth and in spirit, nothing else. It is truth and truth alone. So I just want to share with the people that it is not a process. It is something that happens instantly, and you are formed. You become a new creature, as Paul puts it well in Corinthians.
So for your life, when God changed you, from that point forward, you saw an immediate difference in your thoughts?
Immediately, when I cried and you prayed for me, God gave me a new heart. And actually, the scripture that rang in my mind that time was what Paul told the Corinthian church, that when one is in Christ, it's a new creation. The old has gone. And actually, everything that was disturbing me, tormenting me day and night of sin went away. And I remained a humble man of God and a servant who was willing to serve God and to walk in a righteous and a holy life. So those things went automatically. I did not struggle to restrain myself from sinning. The evil desires went automatically, and I remained a free man. It is like somebody who has been in a jail. The time he has been released is a free man. Like somebody who has been given a yoke or something to carry. And when that thing has been removed, it is now free. That is what I felt the time that I wept and you prayed for me as I received it. As I was receiving a new heart.
That is so awesome.
Amen. And it is. It truly is. It's a freedom. And as you mentioned, before, people have a desire and they want to serve God. But at the same point, they war and they struggle with the sinful thoughts and temptations that actually live within their own heart. And people think that's normal, and they don't understand that God removes all of that from your heart. All right. So, Daniel, since that point, and as I mentioned earlier, God's Spirit works in people, even when they're in darkness. It's the Spirit of God that draws people out of darkness. And a lot of people get confused and they think that, well, I know I'm born again and I'm a Christian because, you know, God gave me this dream and called me into ministry. And as you mentioned, God called you into ministry too, but that didn't mean that you knew him or were serving him. You were still in darkness. But now that God has brought you into light, now that you've been born again with the Spirit of God, can you describe the different things and the power and how God has been working that you have now been seeing that he is doing in your life, through your life, and around you since you've been born again?
Correct. Before I received a new heart, in my family, in my ministry, in the church, makes me to be certain that for sure this is the right way. And I have a new heart. What is it that happens? First of all, the Bible is being fulfilled in my life. Because the truth, are we together?
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes.
Yeah. The truth that I know right now, the truth that I know and I have right now makes me to be alone. People have rebelled against me, against the truth that I'm preaching. That one shows me very clear and very well that my life has changed. Then, previously, the way that I'm following, when I say the way, it is the way of the truth. And Jesus puts this very clear, that I'm the way, the truth, the life, in John chapter 14, verse 6. And many people have turned against me. There is one sign. And when I looked at the Bible confirms that. Now to come to the experience, the life that I live today is different from the life that I used to live. What is it that is happening today that was not happening when I got saved, when I entered into the ministry and started serving God? What is it that makes the difference? The difference is this: I have peace in my heart. Even though people have rebelled, but I'm not struggling to look after them, to persuade them with the word of God to come to me. Because I know very well that the truth is bitter. The way is narrow that leads to heaven of the truth that is. To have dreams were not clear to me.
If you could repeat that again. I think you were talking about your spiritual gifts.
Yes, I was just about to bring the issue of division. That what makes the difference between my former life and now. Number one, they think that they have turned against me, but I know that they have turned against the truth, and the truth of God is what they are rebelling against. So that one does not worry me. And that is number one proof. Number two, I used to have visions and dreams, and they were not clear. But right now, any vision that comes to me is very, very clear. Like the time I shared with you the vision that the Lord showed me at night while sleeping. Number three, whenever I lay my hands upon somebody, the thing that that person desire from God, like healing, they got healed. So I've experienced that, I've tested it, and I've proved it, that sure, it is true. And number four, the last one, when we are in a meeting, I easily discern everybody in the church. The Lord tells me whatever is happening and whatever he wants to do in the church at that point. And even if there is somebody with the evil spirit in the church, the Lord showed me and I cast the spirit and the spirits go away. So I've seen those for the short period of time that we've been together in this journey. So those are the evidence that I can say, and much more, that maybe my wife is the one who can share to you. There are many. So I praise God for...
Amen. And I remember when, after God changed your heart and you were going off to... speak to the church. Can you hear me, Daniel? It sounds like there may be some breaking up on the line.
Are we together now?
Yes. Now we are.
Yeah. Did you hear my last sentiment?
No. What was the last thing you said? Just to make sure we catch it.
I said the vision. Did you hear the vision? The issue of vision? That one was the third evidence. The first one was the discernment. In every meeting that I attend, God speak through me to His people, and whatever He says, that is what God will do. And even if somebody is there with an evil spirit, when I speak against the evil spirit, the evil spirits go away. I've seen that. Amen. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. So Daniel, one of the times I remember is when we were talking and you told me how God showed you a passage that He wanted you to preach in Jeremiah, and you weren't sure because right at the time, you know, people were rebelling in the church, and you know, you're facing rebellion and persecution. And I remember you asked me three times if that's what you were supposed to proclaim, and I felt convicted in my spirit to say, absolutely, Daniel, it's the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. And I gave you that answer three times. And then afterwards, you shared with me, I believe it was the following day, that God also confirmed to you that what you're doing is correct. Do you remember what God did to confirm to you about the truth that you're speaking and whether or not you're to speak it? Do you remember that?
I understand you now very well. That is the time that we were traveling with my wife after ministering from the church. We were traveling to our house. And when we reached a same place, I had a voice speaking to me, whispering to me. And I asked my wife, do you hear that sound? Somebody has just spoken unto me. I thought you were the one. Because we were traveling and there was a lot of much wind. It was a windy by that time. And I had somebody whispering to me that is the truth that I want you to talk about to these people. And continue. That is the true servant of God who confirmed it to me, to you, the truth that I'm now confirming. I am the one who told him that is the truth. So you are in the right track. That is what I heard at that time.
Yeah, and it's neat how God confirms His word and His message. And I remember, you know, you shared also that He did that three times with you, and He said, don't be afraid, but proclaim the truth.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes,
amen.
Yes, sorry. It is now coming. It is now coming. I forgot some parts. I remember I shared with you that the Lord spoke and He confirmed that is why I brought that servant into your life. Correct. I was forgetting that, but it has come now fully. The vision that the voice that the Lord whispered to me as we were traveling was that is the right message that you are supposed to proclaim, and that is why I brought some, so that you continue proclaiming it as you are being supported with Him. That is what the Lord told me, to continue with the truth.
All right. Well, Daniel, I tell you, it's been a wonderful journey as God has brought our lives together in the unity of the Spirit.
Indeed.
And He continues to testify with His signs, wonders, miracles, visions, dreams, audible voices. But most importantly, God testifies with the evidence and the proof of a new heart, which is a man walking in holiness and godliness, walking in light as God is light, being holy as God is holy. That is the miracle. That is a testimony that God does in every person's heart. We become a walking and holy, living sacrifice, proving the will of God in our life every day, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, the holy will of God. Daniel, do you have anything else you would like to share with those listening before we
Thank
close
you.
In prayer and end?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, anything God puts on your heart? I know Mercy mentioned that maybe the question had to do with leaving the church or something in Matthew.
Yeah, correct.
But any last thoughts or anything that God has put on your heart to share with those listening?
Thank you very much. I bless the Lord for this wonderful opportunity that he has given me to share my testimony. I've been in the church for the last 11 years, but within a year, and I think since we began this journey with Brother Sam and Kyle, it has not been long. It has not even taken a year. My life changed. And now I am certain of inheriting the kingdom of God. I was doing it in my past. He is no longer doing it right now because I'm a new person. My heart is new, is transformed. Evil thoughts, evil desires that I used to have, they went away. And now I'm a free man. So I would like just to share with you, whoever is listening, that this is the truth. Jesus was nailed on the cross so that he may deliver us. He may rescue us and give us a new heart. So whenever you hear these servants of God proclaiming the truth, please, please, run and accept this truth, because narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way that leads to death. So when you hear this voice, when you hear this servants of God, please turn away. Do not harden your heart. Do not argue, because everything that I've shared here through my testimony and the question that I've answered, they were from the Bible. I was asking questions from the Bible before I believed, and from the same. You carrying the Bible for many years, but you don't know what is in the Bible. May you accept the truth. Reject sin. Jesus came to destroy the work of Satan, and Satan is the one who convicts those who don't have a new heart to do sin and to preach lies. Even to my fellow servants, those who are claiming to be servants of God, please, let us preach this.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, amen. Well, praise God. Daniel.
Servants of God, remember, the judgment will start from the pulpit. Let us be very careful while handling the word of God, because the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass and everything in it, but this word will stand forever. So whether you preach lie to get something from the congregation, remember that what will stand is the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Daniel, we're going to go back. I think Kyle's going to close us out in prayer. But thank you again for sharing what God is doing in your life. It's wonderful. All right, I'll go ahead and close this in prayer. Father, we thank you today. Father, I thank you that your word is proclaimed throughout the earth, and that your spirit gives testimony and testifies, O God, of the powerful work that you do. It is a work that only the Spirit of God can do in a person's life. It is the evidence and proof of a sincere faith and the powerful, life-changing word of God. You cannot have an encounter with God and not be completely changed into a holy, living sacrifice. Father, thank you that you remove all sin. You remove all unrighteousness. All of it is cleansed. for you are a holy God, and you only do holy and perfect works. And you implant all the fullness of your spirit, the fullness of the deity of God inside of us. We become partakers of the divine nature to then live and walk in the qualities of God, the seed by which we have now been born, to live as a life testimony and proclaiming light and truth by our actions as a demonstration of the power of God within us. As Jesus says, you are not going to know them by what they say, by what they do. For to love God and to love your neighbor as oneself, we don't sin against God. We don't sin against our neighbor. Father, continue to testify and proclaim with your signs, wonders, and miracles, starting with the heart in each person's life, and then with outward manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit to continue to testify that this is the true word of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, raise up a kingdom, an army for Christ, faithful laborers in the field. And Father, by the power of your Spirit in us, in the name of Jesus Christ, we will continue to labor faithfully, to be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, laboring in that field until we hear that trumpet. All glory be to the Lord God Almighty, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.